This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. The Vatican Museums this week unveiled the fruits of a four-year restoration project at the Gallery of Maps. The gallery was commissioned by Pope Gregory XIII in 1581, and every year it is viewed by 6 million visitors. The Deputy Director of the Vatican Museums, Professor Arnold Nesselrath, spoke to me about the restoration project.
We're looking at two phases. The gallery was commissioned by Pope Gregory XIII, and it was started in 1581 and was executed in the next 2 years, between 81 and 83. Then Urban VIII comes in, because he's so fond of it, and popes in between have been fond of it, and he makes major changes to the whole environment between 1632 and 1637.
Well, anyone who walks to the room, it's a hugely long room. I mean, there's a lot in it.
Well, you're walking on the crest of the Apennine Hills. Today you walk from the south to the north, and you have all the regions of Italy that look towards the Adriatic Sea to the right, and everything that looks to the Tyrrhenian Sea on the left. So the arrangement of the maps is according to their topographical location. And then when the Pope came in from the other side, because that's the original entrance, he first saw from the times of Urban VIII, the ancient Italy and the modern Italy on either side. And then he had all the regions, including the islands that today don't belong to Italy anymore, for example, Corsica, which became French in 1769, and Malta, but including also the territory of Avignon, which belonged to the Holy See until 1789.
Regarding the restoration work, obviously, you're constantly looking at the museum and looking to see if there's any danger of anything, you know, eroding or everything like that. But how did this come about? Was it felt that it was high time, or did you look and say that needs work?
It probably wouldn't have needed work from the point of view of the dirt. It badly needed work because with 6 million people going through this long corridor in the course of the year, causing the vibration, the plaster gets loose on the walls, there is a risk of it falling down. And when you need to fix it, of course, you have somehow touched the surface and, you know, sort of to get things in the end right again, it was decided to clean it. But it was not something that started from a cleaning point of view, but it started from a fixing point of view. And there it was in at great risk.
When you're talking about cleaning, I mean, how detailed is that? And obviously, how careful do you need to be?
The technique is fairly mixed or even more delicate. It's painted in a secco, i.e. Painted with pigments that you only can apply on the dry plaster, mainly the greens, mainly the blues, and, you know, you have a lot of sea around that, so you have a lot of blue. And these pigments are very fragile, so once you know what you have in front of you, it, of course, becomes quite an ordinary technique. But you have to establish what you're going to do, and then you clean it in a method how you clean a secco paintings on the wall. And there we have applied some new methods, partly learned in Japan, and, you know, which are materials that fix and clean at the same time. So we've done something that we tried out only locally, and it turned out that this was a very useful technique, the alga funori, to do this in this gallery.
Dare I say, I mean, when you're cleaning, is it a case, or was it a case in that you uncovered maybe things that had been painted over, or is there any? Do you ever find that sometimes where something uncovers something else?
This, of course, is quite something that happens when you do work like that. It was not so much the case with the Gallery of the Maps. The gallery, the interesting thing about the Gallery of the Maps were these two phases, Gregory XIII, Urban VIII, Ignazio Danti, Luca Holstenius, the German librarian of the Vatican Library, who designed the maps for the second phase, and the things that they replaced. So you find traces of the previous situation, which we knew from the documents, which we could verify. And, of course, it would be interesting to know why Urban VIII wanted these changes made. He applied a lot of his, or many of his devices in these frescoes. He added a number of these wonderful little scenes, and, you know, to understand that better, that is something that the documentation which we have produced, I would hope, would enable us to do.
Now, along with the Vatican Museums, I understand that the patron of the arts of the Vatican were also involved in the project.
Yeah, we have these group of supporters. There is in particular, in this case, the chapter from California who has given the money to do the work, to employ additional staff, mainly young people who distinguished themselves there. But it was the support of the Californians with their head, Michael Feely, who also came to inaugurate the gallery on the 23rd of April. And that was, of course, an important factor in this.
Just on a final point, I mean, many people who come to the Vatican Museums, there are obviously other beautiful rooms, and people say, oh, I remember that room. But the Gallery of the Maps is a room that people do remember. So what makes it special, do you think? What is it that makes it stand out?
I should hope that people will remember it, because there is the danger that it merely becomes a corridor to go through to the Sistine Chapel. People have no time to reflect on the beauties of that room, to contemplate all the little scenes, you know, that there is a representation of the transfer of the Holy Shroud to Turin only 3 years before the maps were painted. It's done during the calendar reform. And all of that you can experience in these frescoes. But it is, of course, something that's very enchanting as an environment where the walls show you the places where the episodes that are painted in the vault happened, and where there are these small references like the Battle of Hannibal at Cannae, and, you know, the encounter of Leo and Attila. They happen in these maps, and I personally would hope that people could spend more time in this room, that it was not overcrowded, and that they really got a feeling of this very enchanting environment and learn more about what's going on in these scenes, which I think in times like ours is very important that people learn again to contemplate works of art. And this would be certainly a place where you could do that with a lot of pleasure and making your own a lot of discoveries.